And welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. It's October 1st, 2020. We have six matters on our calendar this morning. The first three are oral arguments via zoom.gov. Marshall, will you call the first case?
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Jessen, Judge Larkin, and Judge Riley, the Honorable Judge Jessen presiding. Before the court is case A20-0449, Knife River Corp, North Central versus Whited Township.
Counsel, if I can just make a few comments before we dive into your arguments. Most of the same rules apply as if you were in our physical courtroom. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your arguments. Counsel for appellant, you'll have additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. I would ask yourself when you begin your argument to please state your name for the record, because we do make these tapes of these proceedings available on our website. And you'll notice also that there's a timer in one of the boxes to help us all keep track of time. So with that, counsel for appellant, when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Rob Stefanowitz, representing the appellant, Knife River Corporation. May it please the court, counsel. This matter concerns a conditional use permit, or CUP, sought by my client, appellant Knife River Corporation, to conduct sand and gravel mining activities on property located in Whited Township. Knife River submitted its CUP application, and the township accepted that application on October 22nd, 2018. Because the CUP application is a written request relating to zoning, and that's not in dispute, it is subject to MnSTAT 1599, otherwise known as the 60-day rule. The 60-day clock to either approve or deny the CUP application started ticking when the township accepted the application. The township then scheduled a public hearing for December 6th, 2018. The contemporaneous record of the proceedings, which is limited here to the meeting minutes from December 6, 2018, confirms that the township did not either approve or deny the CUP application. Instead, the township denied issuance of an interim use permit, or IUP, to Knife River.
Let me ask you a question about the meeting minutes. When I read them, they talk about the interim use permit, which I think you both agreed doesn't exist anywhere in the ordinances or the statute. But it seems like the board treated your request like a conditional use permit. Would you agree with that, or what do you think?
Your Honor, I can only go by the fact that they referenced a section in the ordinance that concerns CUP permits, but I would submit that we're limited to the record, and what the record indicates was considered and what was denied. And here it most clearly indicates that what was denied was an interim use permit. And as the record indicates, all board members voted to disapprove of an interim use permit. So that 60-day clock didn't stop running because the CUP had not been acted on. And so as of December 21st, 2018, it was deemed approved as a matter of law. Now, applying the plain language of 1599, which this court has done and does, and based on the contemporaneous record, the CUP was not acted on within that statutory time period, and therefore was deemed approved as a matter of law. Now, Mr. Counsel,
if I may, so would you address the waiver issue? Because the lawyer at the hearing didn't raise any concerns, with the terminology. And I know you're relying on the NSP case about waiver, but that seems really different to me, where that waiver there was related to the delay in making a decision as opposed to nomenclature, which if there an objection been raised, then it could have been addressed at the hearing. Frankly, I have the same concern about the argument that, the application wasn't on the right form. Well, people didn't raise at the hearing. Shouldn't we be getting to the substance here?
Yes, Your Honor. Just to address that, first, it wasn't a lawyer that was at the meeting. It was a layperson, And
does that matter? I'm sorry if I misstated the record. Should that matter?
No, no. Well, it does matter in that there's no burden placed on the appellant to instruct, or the applicant rather, to instruct the government here how to conduct its business. And I would submit that the Northern States Power case is very similar to the facts here, in that the government tried to shift the burden onto the appellant to direct them. That's not the applicant's responsibility here. And I think that creates a dangerous precedent if the burden is placed on the applicant to instruct the government agency how to conduct its business. And that's what the court rejected in Northern States Power, is the city's attempt to shift that burden onto the applicant. And it said, in this court said, no, that's not appropriate. The burden is on the government to comply with the statutory deadline. And in Northern States Power, this court applied the plain language of the ordinance to find that the CUP was automatically approved in that case. So, Your Honor, that was argument number two that I was going to address, as made by the township here. The first argument that they asserted was the form of the application. And the district court properly rejected this argument, characterizing it as tenuous and finding that it would be difficult for how any reasonable person would look at what the township claims to be the official form and believe it would be required for a commercial mining permit. The form itself indicates that it's a building permit. It asks for the general contractor, the type of building that's being constructed. And clearly the district court understood that this is not a use permit application. Also, and importantly, Knife River was dealing directly with the zoning administrator in submitting this application, and the zoning administrator accepted the application, accepted the fee, and even identified this as the quote application. The township never raised any concerns related to the form of the application submitted, never indicated that there was an official form, and never indicated that there was a defect or that it was incomplete in any manner, which it would be required to do within 15 days if that were the case.
Counsel, if I may, Judge Larkin.
Well, thank you. Following up on both of those arguments, I mean, as I understand it, your client made a written request to be allowed to engage in certain activities. The board considered that request and denied it. The arguments we're hearing about now are, was the form the right form? They mislabeled it an interim use. But at the end of the day, your client requested to be able to use the property in a certain way. The board considered that. The board denied it. I'm having a hard time thinking this is anything but form over substance, and that perhaps we should get to the merits of the decision denying the request
yes.
to engage in the activity, regardless of how it was labeled.
Right, Your Honor. And we obviously disagree that it's form over substance and that the plain language of the statute would apply here. But to answer your question and to get onto the other issue, if it's determined that the township, when it denied an IUP, was acting on a CUP, our position is that it was arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable for a couple of reasons. First, the township ordinance required that the application be submitted to a planning commission to prepare proposed findings and a recommendation. Instead, it was considered directly by the town board.
But
now, the township asserts,
is that they, in this particular township, they were one and the same.
Right, Your Honor. That's correct, Your Honor. That's my understanding, and that's what the township has represented in the district court found. But even if that's true, that does not relieve the township of complying in preparing proposed findings as required either by their ordinance and also by Minnesota law. And that would need to be reflected in the contemporaneous record. That
okay,
didn't
but counsel, can I ask about that contemporaneous record, if I may? Because I look at the minutes. And I mean, I think when we're deciding if things are arbitrary or capricious, we're like, look, was there a legally sufficient reason to deny the CP supported by the record? We did. All of it doesn't have to be. There just has to be one. You can tell me later if you disagree with that. But here's my question. So because the minutes talk about residents complaining that the fact that the road was tore up by Knife River last time and they did not repair it after promising to. So that is in the record as a specific complaint by residents. And then you have the denial, which references the portions of the zoning ordinance that talk about traffic causing excessive road improvements and maintenance. Why isn't that enough under an arbitrary and capricious standard?
Yes, Your Honor. You're correct that there are references to the citizen concerns in this record that we have. And then there's broad references to the zoning ordinance. But what the contemporaneous record is wholly devoid of is any evaluation of that testimony as received by the board, any analysis of any particular ordinances or broadly cited to that testimony or evidence, and then any findings or conclusions applying the ordinance to the facts in the record. That's what's missing here, Your Honor.
What case law says they have to do that? I mean, when we go back to, I mean, you cite to an earlier case, I don't remember which it was.
Yes,
where they said that was.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Yes, but I looked at the findings there, which I'm not saying that the findings here were just a work of art, but the findings in that case that the board made, which the court thought were inadequate, were much, much more. Much less and not tied to any ordinance. And we have that here. So is there some other case?
Yeah, Your Honor, there's a number of cases that we cited to Hurl. I know that Hurl is another case that we cited to in our brief that make reference to the requirement that there be a contemporaneous findings associated with the denial. Bartheld is another case, Your Honor. These are all cited in our brief that would require, again, that the failure to make specific findings is arbitrary and capricious. So we did cite to a number of cases that would support that position, Your Honor.
Counsel, I'd like to talk about the procedure. I mean, you're saying that the statute or the local ordinance requires the Planning Commission to prepare proposed findings for the board's consideration. And here it sounds like we didn't have a two-step process. We didn't have proposed findings submitted to the board, people appearing at the board, presumably with notice of those proposed findings so they could respond to those findings. We simply had the board acting as the Planning Commission, testimony on both sides, decision made. So there's sort of, I am a little concerned that there's a lack of notice. It seems to me if this ordinance says we want the Planning Commission to look at this, prepare proposed findings, the reason for that might be so the applicant can understand what it's up against and be prepared to address those proposed findings at the hearing. And here we had somebody at the hearing who couldn't answer any questions. My question for you is, did your client have any reason to know what the questions would be?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
Same thing of the county.
They did not, Your Honor. So that is exactly the purpose, I would submit, for having those proposed findings available and then presented so that there, one, can be a meaningful discussion as to those and the issues and concerns, and also a meaningful judicial review if things didn't go the way of one of the parties. So that was certainly lacking here, and I would submit that that's my client did not have the benefit of that, and that is part of the problem with the procedure and process that occurred here. In the district court, in its summary judgment decision, wholly misses the mark in that regard. It in fact talks about the need and the requirement of the town board to make those proposed findings and recommendation, but then it just drops off fails to recognize that there was no findings and meaningful evaluation of how the ordinance may apply to their concerns or the testimony of citizens. So the district court missed the mark in its application and simply said, I'm not going to second guess the township board, and I'm not going to substitute my judgment for the board. That's not what the law is, and here the district court failed to apply the precedent of this court in Minnesota. So see that my time is ticking down here. We would ask that the court reverse and direct that the conditional use permit be issued in this matter.
Thank you, counsel. We will turn to you again if you have rebuttal. Counsel for respondent.
May it please the court, counsel, Jason Kubuschek on behalf of Whydah Township. The township on this appeal and related appeal is asking this court to reverse the district court's decision regarding whether or not this was actually a request under Minnesota Statute 1599. And if the court, this court affirms the district court on that, we are asking this court to affirm the rest of the district court decision, which dismisses Knife River's 1599 argument, arbitrary and capricious argument, and procedural due process argument.
Mr. Kubuschek, will you work backwards and respond to Judge Larkin's question to opposing counsel, please? I'm looking at the ordinances right now. I think it's in section 12 where it talks about the process.
And then if I could clarify, I guess my concern is, and if you could address it, it's not that the board couldn't serve both functions, it's that there's a two-step process. And it seems like the first step was not followed here, and does that put people at a disadvantage?
Your Honor, addressing that, I agree the ordinance talks about the Planning Commission first going through this, discussing it, and then the board making a ruling on that. It's undisputed in the record that in this case, you know, the Planning Commission board are one and the same, and they just acted upon it. Now, as far as notice, Knife River was given notice of the meeting. They knew it was going to be discussed. I guess to the extent that issues are raised at the meeting, I don't think that they've had any notice violation just because someone raises something they didn't anticipate at that meeting. Now, if the court, if the remedy to this, if the court is saying, wait, you should have had the Planning Commission make those findings before it came to the board, the remedy is not what Knife River is asking for, which is essentially a complete reversal on the grant of the CUP. We cite to the Biolwood case in our brief where a somewhat similar situation happened there where Rice County's Planning Commission was required to make findings. It went to the board, the findings weren't in writing, and this court remanded it back for the Planning Commission for a new proceeding. So there is a remedy. Now we don't think that's necessary, but it certainly is a remedy other than just saying, Knife River, here's the CUP you're entitled to because you applied for it.
So counsel, if I can come back at the question another way, and I understand what you're saying about the remedy and read the Biolwood case, but why, I mean, even setting aside the notice issues that Judge Larkin raises appropriately, you know, here the township is not following its own rules. It can act as the Planning Commission, but if it's going to act as the Planning Commission, it needs to issue findings of fact. Why isn't that in and of itself enough to say the decision was arbitrary and capricious?
Because I think that they did go through it. I think it's really, as I understood Judge Larkin's question, was more to the notice aspect. It wasn't so much that they didn't actually go through the factors that they were to consider, which they did go through the pertinent ordinance provisions.
Are you saying, counsel, then that we should read the minutes of this as findings of fact? I'm just kind of getting it to the, they said that they would follow these rules. They didn't follow the rules. Isn't that kind of definitionally arbitrary?
And I would say not, because they did follow the rules to the extent they went through the ordinance. They discussed the ordinance and the factors. The burden is then on the applicant to refute the evidence or the failure to comply with these. And that's really what happened here, is we've got citizen comments, and it's not speculative. It's really concrete. They lived through this. This is their road. They saw what happened last time. And the burden was on Knife River then to refute that. And they were unable to refute that. They can't meet the ordinance requirements. So I think the denial was proper because the ordinance requirements could not be met.
So I'm looking at section 12, subdivision 1E, and this is about the procedure. And it says within 60 days from the date of the public hearing, that would be for the planning commission, I guess. The planning commission shall make a finding of fact and recommend such conditions or actions relating to the request of the town board. I'm trying to figure out the procedure. And maybe you can point me to where it says that the planning commission has to make findings of fact or do anything maybe other than recommend denial or approval, maybe with certain conditions. I don't know. So maybe you can help me as I'm reading through these ordinances.
Your Honor, I would say that when they're acting both as the planning commission and the board, that to comply with this section, they go through, they obtained the evidence, they went through these factors, and then ultimately there was a decision made by the board to deny. So, I can't say that there was a separate planning commission hearing. There was only the one hearing. But they certainly did go through these factors.
No, my question is, I don't see in the ordinance that the town planning commission has to make findings of fact or even a recommendation. I don't know. It's kind of an odd ordinance.
May I follow up on that question? And I don't have the ordinance in front of me, but I do have in some of the papers before me, it says section 12, subdivision 1 of the township zoning ordinance states that requests for conditional use permits received by zoning should be sent to the town planning commission. Town planning commission will make findings of facts and recommendation and send those to the town board. The town board will then make a final decision on the request. And so I appreciate the town board and the planning commission are one and the same. But if this is accurate, it sounds like there are supposed to be some proposed findings for consideration at the meeting at which the board is going to approve or deny it. And if in fact that's the case, that's my concern, because it seems like those proposed findings serve a purpose, and the reasonable assumption is they put people on notice of what, if any, concerns have been raised and what people should be prepared to address at the meeting at which the board would make the decision.
And I would say that with respect to those findings, there was no findings made, but the applicant's spokesperson was there and was able to address the issues raised. Certainly the findings just relate to, were the ordinance provisions complied with, or can you comply with them? That was specifically discussed at that hearing, and the applicants couldn't.
I'm not left with the perception that the applicant was able to address the issues. I mean, as I understand the record, issues were raised, and the CUP applicant layperson was there and couldn't answer basic questions about the impact of what he was requesting. And part of me is concerned that, well, if there had been proposed findings based perhaps on these public comments, he would have been better prepared to make a better record for the board's consideration.
So I'm clear. So the court's questioning the process and whether or not the applicant had the ability to respond to the issues that would have been raised or discussed at the hearing.
specifically, do you agree that under the ordinance, the Planning Commission is to make findings of fact and recommendations for the board's consideration before the board decides whether to grant the cup?
I would agree that the ordinance provisions do discuss Planning Commission and findings of fact, yes.
Okay. And that did not happen here?
Correct, acting as the same, there were no formal written findings. There was a discussion regarding the factors, but there were no formal findings.
So there was non-compliance with the procedures set forth in the ordinance for a decision on a cup?
Well, I think it was compliance to the effect that they went through the factors. I don't think they had anything formal. So I think there was some compliance.
I mean, you could, this whole case, well, was it an application for a cup? Was it on the right form? You called it a temporary use. I mean, nothing was done correctly. I mean, isn't that the definition of arbitrary and capricious? It seems like every step of the way, we didn't follow the rules.
Well, I think if the court's going down that path, I think the very first rule that wasn't complied with was there was no written request here under 1599, which is—
And can I ask about that? Because you asked that we would reverse the district court on that issue, correct?
Correct, because—
Have you filed a notice of related appeal? I mean, can you ask us to reverse the district court's decision without filing a notice of related appeal?
We did file a notice of related appeal, Your Honor.
Oh, goodness, sorry.
Right. And on that issue, you know, the township's position is the district court erred on that because there is an official form, and I understand, you know, Knife River and the district court said, well, that form doesn't help us. But as we've, in our briefing, we've laid out, you know, we do have a form, and there's also, that's part one, and there's a second part, a supplementation. Now, there's no evidence to the contrary that this isn't the form to be used.
So,
and, you know, counsel, there has to be a genuine issue.
Why did you act on it? If it's not the form to be used, why did you hold a hearing on it?
That's certainly within their discretion if they want to have a hearing on an incomplete application.
Well, then, I mean, aren't we then past the issue of they didn't use the right form? If they submit something and it's not the right form, why isn't it rejected? It seems to me if the county goes forward and goes through the process it believes is required to act on the request, it sort of has accepted the form of the request, or the styling of the request, I should say.
Well, it's the township's position that we can move forward on it, but 1599 doesn't apply to it.
Okay.
So there's a distinction there. 1599
That's
doesn't
fair.
Apply because it's very specific, a written request, and this is not a formal written request. But we can still act upon it. We have that discretion to act upon incomplete applications.
So I am looking back at, back in section 12 of your ordinances, and I'm looking at G and H, which is, I'm not sure if the applicant gets one chance to talk or one hearing, and that's at the Planning Commission, and then the Planning Commission is supposed to forward the report and recommendation onto the town board, and then it just says the town board can either approve or disapprove. So are they supposed to have two hearings and two opportunities? First one to present the application, and the second hearing to address concerns? I'm just not understanding how this ordinance works when you collapsed the Planning Commission and the town board hearing into one hearing.
The town board just handles it as one hearing. They have the Planning Commission and town board hearing just as one. They don't have separate proceedings. And certainly that as a planning commission, they're taking in the public testimony, you know, they're having the public hearing portion, and then the board is making the final decision. The board hearing itself wouldn't have to be public, but because they act as the planning commission also, they allow for the public comment and the applicant to present.
So the board hearing would not be public if it had been held separately?
Well, it would. The board hearing would be a public meeting, but it wouldn't necessarily have public comment or input.
So would the applicant be allowed to speak at a board meeting on a CUP request, typically?
That's up to the board. Typically, they've allowed it, but certainly the public hearing portion is held by the Planning Commission. And because they've merged these together, it's done at one hearing now.
Understood. So what you're describing, I take it based on your practice in the county, is that there used to be a public meeting before the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission would take testimony from the public and anybody who supports the CUP. The Planning Commission would make findings and recommendation, send those on to the board. Then the board would hold a separate public meeting at which it could elect to allow the CUP applicant to speak or make a submission regarding the recommendations of the planning committee. Is that how it typically works? That's my understanding how it works.
It is, Your Honor, and it follows a statute. In addition to the ordinance, it follows the statutory guidelines. So that's how it would typically happen. But here, because they've merged the planning commission and the board together, they have one public hearing with input from the public and the applicant, and then the board votes.
And that's my concern here. In all of these cases that I've ever reviewed, there is always some report from some county agency who's looked at the issue and provides some sort of objective analysis for the board. And that seems to be lacking here. And your response is, well, they did it at the hearing.
Correct. They went through the factors right. And talked about it there. So as I said, we're seeking this court to reverse the issue on the whether or not it's a written request, but then to affirm the district court's decision with the remaining claims. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel for appellant, we'll turn to you for any rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to touch on a couple of points. Counsel argued that he could act on an incomplete application. First, there was never any indication that this was incomplete. And if that was the township's position, the statute requires that there be a letter sent within 15 days of the submission of the application indicating that it is incomplete. That didn't occur here.
Counsel, can I ask about that? Because the district court analyzed this in terms of estoppel. But why wasn't this a waiver? You know, voluntary relinquishment of a known right that was going on here.
Why wasn't, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I just want to make sure I understand your question.
The district court analyzed this in terms of estoppel. Wouldn't it also be appropriate to look at waiver? Why isn't this a voluntary relinquishment of a known right that the township waived?
Well, I think because the case law would support estoppel. And that's just one of the arguments that would support the actions of the township accepting the application here. They're required to address the township's argument that, you know, they could act on this as incomplete. They have to, if their position is that the application is incomplete, they have to give a written notice of that within 15 days of submission of the application. That didn't occur here. So addressing that point, Your Honor, that didn't happen here. So the position now that it was somehow incomplete, they failed to comply with the ordinance or the statute that would require a notice in that regard.
And counsel, I looked at your letter application and compared it to what was required. It's on page 16 of the ordinances for the site plan and everything. And I think you checked all those boxes of what was required.
Yes, Your Honor. And that was something that we submitted to the district court as well. And the district court, I believe, acknowledged that all the information that would have been part of an application was present. And I don't think that the township took a different position in that regard. And there is an unpublished case from this court, the Maudlin case, that addresses the fact that if you include all the information, that's considered a complete application. And I would submit that that applies here as well. With respect to the process here, we would submit, and based on the acknowledgements from council, that the process hasn't been followed here, and that is the definition of arbitrary and capricious. And the remedy for that is reversal and issuance of the permit, and that's what the published case law provides as a remedy for arbitrary and capricious behavior in the consideration of a conditional use permit. So
why isn't the remedy reverse and remand for proper procedure?
Well,
I mean, can you cite us case law that says if we conclude this was arbitrary and capricious because the proper procedure wasn't followed, we must, as a remedy, direct issuance of the CUP?
Yeah, yes, Your Honor. I mean, the In Re Living Good case that we cited too, and I believe we cited some other cases, indicate that the proper remedy is to instruct the government to issue the permit, and that's what the law provides as the appropriate remedy here, rather than simply sending it back to the township to correct its errors. I know that we cited to a number of cases that address that. I believe the Bartheld case also provides that the appropriate remedy is reversal with instructions to issue the permit.
Well, my concern in this case is that as a result of the failure to follow procedure, we have a very thin record, and all we really know is what the public thinks of this proposal. I mean, we don't have any engineers, we don't have any studies, we don't have any the sort of hard data we normally have when we review these things. Isn't there case law saying that if the record is too thin, that we feel we can't make an informed decision regarding the validity of the CUP, that the proper remedy is to send it back to develop the record?
I'm not aware of that case law, Your Honor, and I would submit that when there is arbitrary and capricious behavior, including not following your own ordinance, what the case law would provide is that the appropriate remedy is the issuance of the permit requested. See, I'm out of time.
Well, we thank both of you for your helpful argument, and it was well briefed as well. We'll take the matter under advisement, and a decision will be issued within the statutory time period. Thank you both.